listening to Glee on the Rocks.
Yes.
It really is. Hello, welcome to another mini episode of Glee on the Rocks. I am Emily.
I'm Mandy.
I'm Mav! Hey,
how about that? We're circling right back. We've got another mini episode because we grabbed Mav off the streets where she was talking to people about how much she misses Mr. Yeah. Schuster.
I mean, I do feel bad that, like, watching Glee just got too hard for her because she couldn't handle the fact that Mr. Shu wasn't on air anymore.
I know.
You know, I deserve this. That's fair.
That, and she had to go, like, really dedicate herself to her entire podcast on Snape and how he's the most amazing sex character in the history of
all characters.
Cinema.
Yeah. Look for that at nevermotherfuckinggonnahappen.com.
Be That's a great. Good website, though.
It actually would be a good website.
I want to hold. I'm literally Googling Someone it right now.
Stick. But another thing, like a new thing every day that's never going to fucking
happen. Yeah. Happen.
That site can't be reached.
Oh.
Yes. That means it's open for that you can
purchase. Get it. I thought you meant someone had it like locked out down.
Get it.
No. It means it's
Buy
open.
It. Get it.
But no.
So we are going to take two on fucking around because this podcast isn't fucking around. Because it's a reference to Darren's new song because we also just have bad.
I understood that reference.
We're not great on scheduling either. Mav could not talk about Darren's new song. And we needed her to talk about Darren's new song. So we're gonna take two on this. And
thoughts, opinions. All this.
She's already done a dance party to it. We didn't record that one.
It was too hot for the internet.
It really was.
I'm sorry. Just too much.
Yep. And then maybe hit up our thoughts also on the marketing of it.
Mm-hmm.
Quote unquote marketing.
Yeah, and email and some text messages. Mm-hmm. So yeah, what were your first impressions since you just listened to it about 15 minutes ago?
Yeah, really. Okay, so first of all, I do appreciate that they did a video with lyrics because I am apparently old now and must have like closed caption on everything. And so this was basically like bigger closed caption to me. Also, I assume way more low budget than actually filming a legit like music video. So I'm like, nice. Well done, guys.
I do like the
rainbow background.
Video or not, or if the lyric video was it.
I don't know. I don't really understand how things music's released anymore as if I ever did. Especially not when it's like indie music, because I always thought like when you you had your singles and albums and then you would release music videos and occasionally lyric videos would come out of that, but they were not really official from my understanding.
Right.
Again, having never worked in the music industry.
Well, do you think,
so I don't know.
Do you think he's going to go on TRL to release his video?
He should. That should be the level of marketing that you go for is TRL. And I assume that's probably the level of marketing they're doing is booking shows that don't exist.
I mean, I thought you just meant Carson Daly in like the back of a 7-Eleven with a microphone that's not plugged in.
Don't do Carson Daly like that. Doesn't he have like the late
not anymore.
At like at 3 in the morning?
Not anymore.
See, this is how plugged into reality I am apparently.
Well, I know he doesn't have it anymore because Lily Singh took it over.
Oh, see? I know nothing, apparently. At least not outside my small corner of the internet.
A little with Lily Singh. I like her, but I don't watch it because it comes on at like 1 a.m.
Well, maybe Darren should do that anyway.
Yeah.
Maybe he should. Maybe that'll give him more exposure than what he currently has. First listening to the song, I will say I went like, wow, that's a bass beat because that's pretty much what you get like assaulted with. That's a strong word. It's pretty much what you get like hit
it's
with.
It's not wrong though.
Might not be wrong. It's not a bad bass beat. I'm not really into the beginning of it. It just feels very low production at the beginning. Yes. I'm just kind of like, meh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A little low production, the lyrics I felt were a little half-assed, to be honest. I feel like the word what you think as to try to use up a syllable kind of lazy, but that's just me. I would also like to add all the time, the lyric "all the time you took from my pocket" is not, again, you cannot take time from pockets. Sort of like you can't have sunshine in a pocket.
I was just going to ask if you could have a pocket full of sunshine, though.
You cannot have a pocket full of sunshine, nor can you have pocket full of time. But apparently, that don't matter. So the lyrics really frustrated me, because as somebody that I was like, hey, I've listened to new music before, and lyrically, it can be very intricate. And BTW, I have spent the last year listening to BTS, who, sidebar, is super intricate with their lyrics. Please don't come for me, ARMY. I fucking love them. But going from that and listening to like very intricate, very like deep lyrics to oh my god, I know I can't stop you now, it just kind of seemed like a little bit of a jump. And I was like, okay, this feels meh, especially compared to your later things. I will say, when it transitioned into the chorus, I was into it. Not gonna lie, I like the chorus.
The chorus.
It is still a little EDM-y, but I don't think that's a bad thing. I think I was like, you've got a good song in the chorus, but when you go back into the verses, it kind of goes back to feeling cheaper, low quality, like it feels like an indie song, and not in a good kind of indie song way. More like in a, we don't have enough money to pay for a full band and or a good lyricist kind of indie band.
So
way.
In the email, which we read some of in part one of our Let's Talk About Fucking Around, because like, Jesus, I went back to it, and he, you have to read this email, because talk about like a marketing question.
Oh, shit.
He says in it, it wasn't until recently that I finally decided to fully flesh it out as a song. And with the help of a string of different writers and producers birthing varying incarnations along the way, the final song ultimately became something of a nodin with an apostrophe, middle finger anthem to those trifling people in your life. And then it goes on as a very long run-on sentence that I cannot read right now. How many different writers did it take to make this? You, my dude.
What on earth is the original version?
Yes, exactly.
This final one.
I would like to add that it feels like there's multiple writers. You can the middle part kind of reminds me a little bit of like Walk the Moon, like their newer stuff. The stuff that's like, you know, where they went kind of like hardcore into adding some synth and stuff. But, and so I can, not saying that they were the ones that helped, but like it feels more fun. And then the other parts of it don't. So yeah, I don't know. And that would make sense. It's like why this song feels kind of like a disconnect, where I'm like, hey, I like half of it. The other half is kind of weird. And like, you didn't have enough money for a lyricist. That's because you had five of them.
So, Darren, you're a singer-songwriter. Write your own fucking songs. Like, I know. Do you not trust your own songwriting capabilities? And
I'm wondering why they actually admitted that they worked with other lyricists without naming them. Because I'm assuming, I assume they felt like they had to say that for legal reasons.
Does it list the lyricists in the YouTube video?
I actually haven't gone to the YouTube, because
I'm on it. I am going through it.
I'd like to keep my
LBO.
Oh, go for it.
LBO Music? What is that?
LVO? Like, I like to keep my YouTube algorithm strictly to my workout videos and nothing else.
Don't want Darren ruining that algorithm.
Not really.
Oh my God. Yes. This is great. You know, okay. God, this is so good. I love this so much. Let me add.
This is not a lyric video. He is in this.
Yeah.
Okay. I would just like to say, you know what comes up first if you put Darren Criss fucking around is not his video. Because I just put Darren Criss. I didn't go to his YouTube page. I just put Darren Criss fucking around 6 or 7 videos down. Because there's a lot of other videos, one of which contains Megan Thee Stallion. So I don't know how you're going to try to like overtake that SEO, because that's not going to happen. There is a lyric video that has like a rainbow background. And when you click, it's called LBO Music. I assumed that that was like the release or like the group that was releasing it, because it has like all the lyrics in the notes and all of Darren's like social handles and all this stuff. It's not Darren Criss's music video, but that's the first one not his official one doesn't come up before that one. So I just clicked on that one because that was the first one. So like if you want to talk about marketing, I'm gonna say, well, that's not good.
If you type in, oh, I see, LBO music. Oh, I see. Because, if you type in just his name, it is. But if you type in fucking around, I see. Okay, interesting.
Yeah, what really interests me is the video IQ score of this. So this is getting about 678 views an hour, which is 338 less than the video's average views per hour.
Where do you see that?
Oh,
you have software.
Yeah, I have a Google software extension that lets me look at this.
I don't. Okay, I 100% do not consider this a lyric video. I consider this a music video. There is a person in this. There is different animation. No,
this is definitely a music video. Yeah. I'm sorry. Like, what I was seeing.
I'm just thinking like the one, that. His official on his channel that is called Fucking Around lyric video is not a lyric video. It is a music video with the lyrics on it.
Yeah, he's in it. Yeah.
You are in it with a guitar signed by people.
Yeah, I mean it is a low budget music video.
Yeah, it's a low budget music video.
It looks like a music video that, you know, an 18-year-old TikToker could make in their bedroom.
Yes.
And I'm saying that, though, honestly, some 18-year-old TikTokers have incredibly high production quality.
Yeah.
And some of them have incredibly low production quality
on purpose,
which makes it even better. I feel like that's what they were trying to do here. I think I see Fucking Around as a track I started a while back as a pretty simple loop. I built it all around a very simple bass
loop. This is the same text that the email has. It's not even different text.
Yeah.
Rude.
That's why I'm reading it.
So he also uses, what's it called? Is it called community?
The email or the texts that people get. I think it's community.
I'll go ahead and text these. Because I'm just assuming you're not on his community thing.
Me? No.
If not for the podcast, I would not be. So this is also part of his, you know, marketing. But in the text, yeah, he calls it a lyric video.
Yeah.
And now I am seeing the LBO Music actual lyric video. Like, that's what I was expecting when I clicked it from the text.
The first of a series of character-driven singles coming your way.
He also has, let's see, his bundles.
Ugh.
So... okay, yeah. Here is his merch to go along with this.
Yeah, I saw this. And I stand by what I said previously, that the Darren Criss Rice Krispies t-shirt was better.
Yeah. Part of me appreciates that he's, I don't know, trying to do something different with merch. I mean, the guitar picks are very on brand for him. But like,
I like that.
Yeah,
I
just drum cover.
Mm-hmm.
That's how much of a demand is there for that?
I mean, I assume what they think is that it's like this is very on brand for him, as far as like, this is something that, because he plays, you know, he plays various instruments, that's a way to kind of make it more focused around him and his talent. But yeah, no, I agree with you. It's Flutter, like, I don't, it's cool, but I don't really think that's a thing that a lot of people are going to be like, I have a drum that needs a photo of Darren that I don't even recognize this photo.
I also,
like, he's got the world's largest belt on right now in that photo.
For the, like, for environmental reasons, I really resent that they're selling single CDs. Like, you are selling one song on a CD.
Yeah.
Really. That's how we're doing it.
Yep.
I wonder how the Zoom party went.
Has that already been?
It said signed CD and Zoom party was only available if purchased before 1 p.m. April 10th. It might not have happened. Oh, okay. Considering, oh God, we missed it. That was today.
Damn.
Fuck.
And we weren't chosen. Well, we what a fucking shame.
So
I can't believe a podcast wasn't chosen to be on the Zoom party.
I looked up. I looked up the company that did his video. I was curious about it. Mm-hmm. It's actually, it says it is directed and animated by Machine That Eats. They have done a lot of animated stuff with Carly Rae Jepsen. Even has done something with Eric Clapton and Tiesto. So I'm like, all right. Like, y'all legit. Like, not just some, like, I was wondering if it was like some, like one of his friends' random things. It does feel a little bit like, yeah, like you were saying, like it was done in like a YouTuber's
basement.
Which, or, and again, but not like in a good way. Like, I don't want to use that phrase in a derogatory term, because like there are a lot of YouTubers in the basement and they have fucking good production values. Yeah. I mean this in a very, I guess I should say, if I had a YouTube show in my basement, this is the production value. And so I don't know if it's a vision from Darren. It's like, I have this idea. I want to make it like this.
I mean, and I would respect it if he was like, hey, this is the music video, instead of calling it a lyric video. But this is a COVID safe music video, because it is. Like,
yeah,
absolutely.
That would be there. That would be, I think, a little bit more honest and would make me go, yeah, no, I mean, I think I would like that better, being like, no, I'm glad you made a COVID safe. I'm glad you made a COVID safe music video rather than put an entire production together.
Yeah, the fact that he's specifying lyric video makes me like side eye him. Like, are you going to try to milk this even more? Like,
yeah, are you going to do another one? I will add, because again, we're discussing marketing, some of the texts, and then I would just like to say that, first of all, they use quotations at the beginning of this paragraph, and at no time do they do closed, closed quotation marks.
Wow.
So that's annoying. But also, since it's the same as it is for the email, it is intended to sound conversational, and like, this is Darren talking to you. And very frequently, I find marketing teams and copywriters and copy editors, actually, I'll take this back. It's not always copywriters and copy editors. A lot of times they're really good at it. It's higher ups that make them change things. And then because it doesn't sound a certain way, that ends up making it not work. So I shouldn't say it's copywriter's fault. It ends up what tries to sound like conversational copy. And like, hey friend, how you doing?
Hey cool kids.
Comes off as hey fellow kids. And that's literally the opposite of what you're trying to do. And it's sort of like by trying to manufacture a certain level of conversational tone, it comes off the opposite way. And that's how I feel reading this. Literally pulling up his the text, it says, "What you think?" Which, by the way, WHACHU.
So much. I hate it.
I'm like, that is very manufactured, a conversational tone, and it comes off very inauthentic, very fake. And that is literally, I'm like, you are making this worse.
Yeah.
You're making it worse.
I also just, I resent the winking face telling me to tune in. Be like, no, sir, I will wait 48 hours to watch it in response to that wink.
Don't you think, too, I think we've discussed this many times, maybe, you know, offline, so that, you know, listeners are probably like, you haven't discussed it with us, but we've discussed it offline at least a million times. Darren doesn't have a good social media voice because it changes.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's because sometimes it's him and sometimes it's very obviously not him. And then people try to make it sound like him. And then oftentimes it's obviously someone typing for him.
And then sometimes people just upload pictures of their cupcakes.
And as one does. And it's like, okay, we know it's not you. You're a celebrity. It's not you. So don't.
It's okay.
Exactly. It's okay that it's not you.
It's okay. It's also okay. Okay. Like Obama, I know, did this, and so did Hillary and a couple of other politicians have done this, where like their team and themselves have the logins, right?
Right.
And their team will give updates. But when they write something, which I assume is still kind of heavily, you know, going through a team, they will sign it in some way. So, you know, that's like, hey, this was from me, again, even though it's probably still heavily through a team, versus this is the promotional stuff that my team is sending out because I am a public figure. So this isn't just my rambling thoughts. And I feel like whoever's running his social media image, and I don't know if that's on his PR side. I don't know if that's on his internal agent side. That really depends on how he has written his contracts. It can go either way, honestly. It ends up coming off, like you said, very inauthentic because there's a lot of different voices, and it would be better if you said, hey, let's split this. We know this is going to be a public figure. Either you go full like Cardi B and like, you know, and like everything is like from you. Yeah, whether that's
right, good or bad.
Good or bad.
Yeah.
but everybody knows that's you. And when you and if you end up saying something that's like that you have to walk back, that's just something you're gonna have to do. Or you know, do it a different way where it's like if you wanna have some authenticity of Darren's voice, you need to be able to have a way to indicate it.
And obviously he doesn't enjoy doing social media at this point in his life, so just don't.
Don't pretend.
And it is also interesting because Darren is one of those people, like a lot of celebrities get social media to promote projects, but Darren is one of those people that had social media before he got, you know, famous. So at some point, like, we know it was him to begin with. And I think a lot of the people who were around then do have that instinctive feel for Darren's natural voice.
Yes. Like, yeah, like us. Like,
yeah.
Not to humble brag, but like.
There's also a little bit of, if he doesn't like it because he's like, hey, I did this already, or I did this, and then there was just like, fans were too crazy and I just didn't want to deal with it. Insert whatever reasoning here, like whatever, it doesn't matter. Like, it's better if you don't try to make them, because it's like, I say this as somebody who literally works in social media, it's like, no, like anytime it's trying to be forced, it's worse, always. Right? So just don't do that. Have an official account that's run by his team. And send like, hey, this is his official account. We're gonna post news updates. What Darren's up to? Anything new happening? And you know, you can interact with it, but don't pretend like it's from him. Because yeah, if he clearly doesn't want to do it, he's not gonna put in any effort. It's gonna be really fake and cheesy and inauthentic. And that's just, your hardcore fans won't care, I think, to some degree, because they'll still want to interact with it, but. And then, of course, the general audience isn't going to care because they're not going to interact with it at all. But you kind of have that middle ground where it's like, you're not going to make any traction reaching that general audience with a social media account that has no passion behind it. Give it to an intern that's like on the team. That's like, here, go here. Here's an Instagram account.
Have fun.
follow him around and take photos and have fun. And it, you know, just be an inside look into what's going on in Darren's world. And it's like from the intern that works there. I see, not actually intern.
I mean, why not? I mean, it's also because it's so inconsistent and it's so like, I was just taking a look at it now. It's so like, you know, he only uses it when he has something to promote, so that it's,
that's another thing that it's like,
and I think like speaking to the, you know, hardcore audience, which we were, I mean, I'll be honest, I haven't followed Darren on social media in like 2 years, but at one point I followed a lot, and he definitely had his periods where not only was it inconsistent usage, but it was slightly hostile usage. So in that case, I would say definitely don't make Darren runs on social media.
Yeah. I
mean, he was snappy as fuck with people sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And I sympathize that like being a public figure probably gives you a lot of weird, crazy people in your inbox. But if you cannot handle that and be a public figure, don't do social media.
Yeah. Don't try.
Don't do that.
Give the password to someone else. It's fine.
Yeah,
I've also seen celebrities that, like, when they do want to say something as themselves, they just record a video and have that posted to Twitter.
Yeah.
Like, 30-second video thanking people for, like, downloading the new song or telling them the new song's coming. It's a great way to get, like, their voice across. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Having to see any response from social media.
Turn off the comments.
And again, having...
Yeah.
And again, if you had somebody on your team literally dedicated to being like, okay, you're going to run the social, and it's not going to be from Darren's perspective, it's going to be from somebody on his team that's like giving an insight into what's going on, then yeah, then you can be like, hey, I'm going to snag you to do a quick, you know, thank you video, or we're going to do a quick reel or a story, or let's go on Instagram live real quick of you just playing the song. We've released it, but like give them like a little teaser at the beginning, or be like, just tease the, you playing a bass, that beginning note. Cause you're really leaning in on this dirty bass line. So let's give them a little tease of you playing that dirty bass line and put it up. Like there are ways to do this that I think would work really well. But you can't do it from his perspective because he clearly doesn't want to do it. And I think it's much better if you just don't.
Yep. It just disingenuous.
And I mean, he may even, and I agree with, I think Mandy was, you were the one that said like the only time he ever actually posts is when he's got something to promote. That's another issue I think a lot of B2C companies have with social, is that it's all about promotion. And that social media and organic social is a means to a conversion. And that is incredibly incorrect. Social media, organic social is not a conversion tool. It is not a way for you to actually sell anything. You, if you are trying to evaluate your social media based on the number of conversions and the number of, you know, units you've sold, you're fundamentally using the wrong measurement. And I think you guys all know that, but it's engagement, right? It's all about what is your engagement rate? And then what, and then secondarily to that is like, okay, awareness, share of voice, you know, things like that, where you're starting to look at more at, how many people am I actually reaching? And then how many people in the number, based on the number of people am I reaching, how many people are actually engaging with this content? And not just passive engagement, but actually active engagement, passive engagement is just like, you know, watching a video that autoplays, or just doing a like. Active engagement is like sharing or commenting. Depends on the platform to some degree, but for the most part. So you're starting to go, okay, this is more about community building and more about engaging. And if you are only popping up to say, hey, I have a thing, and then disappearing, sure. Like he's got a lot of comments on this YouTube post. You know, let's see, his engagement rate is fairly well on this single YouTube page, but like, how is that? But those are all fans that you already have captured. You're not increasing your share of voice and increasing your awareness with a new audience. You already have these people.
We already know that his fans are active, but
Yeah. So it's like, are you engaging with them? Are you responding back to them? Are you increasing that active engagement so that it goes out wider to a bigger audience so that you're starting to get more people to follow?
I would say he has actively decreased that audience over the past few years.
Once every, because I mean, once every,
he got that on a silver platter, and then has been like failing to maintain since then.
Once every 18 months, he'll respond to somebody on Twitter, and it may or may not be snappy.
Yeah.
Which, you know, depending on the person, maybe they have it coming, but also, like, you never respond, not never, obviously, but, like, the engagement back with fans is minimal, and that is a choice he has made, but the consequence, you know.
And unless you are Gordon Ramsay, your replies should probably veer more positive engagement with fans than negative.
One would think.
Or just don't say anything at all, asshole. Like...
Write it down on a piece of paper, come back to it later and decide if it's any good. I mean, honestly, if you want to see somebody that I've been following Lil Nas on Twitter. What?
I said, I adore him and every choice he's made on his social media.
I know. I'm like, I mean, he can be sassy as fuck, but he's also very positive to his fans. And he's also just very, but people that are mean to him, like, yeah, he can be sassy, but he's also very, very engaging. And he's very, and you kind of can tell that's him. Like, you can tell that's, and I'm sure there's still a team involved. I'm sure it's not just him. Completely, because it never usually is with people that are bigger public figures. But there is a lot that I think is driven by him and his voice and how he presents himself and how he wants to interact and engage. So, I'm just kind of going through the social stats on his page. It looks like YouTube analytical data. Monthly subscribers. You've been decreasing your monthly subscriber count for a while.
That's because there's nothing there. Like, what is there to subscribe to?
I mean, that's not, you're not wrong.
Not that I need videos on YouTube from Darren Criss. Like, you don't, he's not a YouTube person. I'm not.
But God, that would have been utilizing the whole lockdown situation to its peak if he had just sat down and done a half hour concert like once a week.
Oh my God, don't give him any ideas. He might do it now. But you're right.
It's just
you're
singing Disney songs.
I could not have listened to that many fucking Disney songs. But you're right though, he could have. Really could have.
I love that his Twitter lost 2,000 followers over the last 30 days.
People remembered he was alive.
I mean, and then let's see, he lost 2,000 people over the last 30 days for his Instagram. That's kind of the one, that's the kind of the downside when you, if you only post sporadically and then you do post, is like all of a sudden people go, oh, yeah, that's right. I don't want to follow you anymore. Because like, I mean, it's because you haven't said anything in a while and they're just like, they're going to piece the fuck out. I'm also going to add that the tag, the SEO they did on the video is middling. It's not terrible, but they really needed to be doing more tags.
Okay, but now I'm thinking about that he should have done a monthly concert and I can't stop thinking about it.
I mean, he should have. Oh my God. They have no end screens and no
I know.
Cards.
I noticed that. Fuck. And I don't know shit about YouTube.
His link tree was also
his
broken.
Link tree on his Instagram was broken for like days.
So even if anyone went to link in bio,
couldn't go anywhere.
I fucking love my my marketing insight stuff just because I'm like I'm nosy.
Now we're gonna officially have you back whenever we want to look at the analytics.
Yeah, I'm trying to see if there's anything else I can glean from this, from my many different analytical logins. I'm really curious how many hits the website has. I'm not going to be able to see that.
I want to know how much they're selling in merch, which I want to know. I want to know who bought or if anyone buys the drum thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? If anybody does buy the drum thing and they listen to the podcast, I would like to be me told too. About it.
Yeah.
And or sent a drum set with mm-hmm. the cover. I would put that up somewhere in this house if that were to happen.
If you buy the kit, but you anyone buys the $250 thing but doesn't want the drum face, send it to us and we'll take it.
I feel like there's gonna be like a mascot or something can be done with that, right? That's like some sort of crazy contraption. Sure, we can figure something out. No, I'm not seeing any other. Actually, I'm going back to one of my social sites. I was looking at, I haven't actually, does he do anything on? Okay, his YouTube only has 230,000 subscribers.
I noticed that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he really has barely touched it except to upload the occasional song. Mm-hmm. But even then, not all his music goes there because computer games have their own mm-hmm. like YouTube channel, don't they?
Yeah, it depends on how they set that up. If they were smart, they set computer games up underneath Darren Criss's channel, so it was like tiered. In which case, then some of the analytics should be accessible and cross into
well, you said his YouTube page. Smart, so I'm guessing they didn't.
It's fair. I'm also. Okay, he does have a computer games playlist. And it jumps over to computer games. I would assume he probably set it up that way. Yeah, because he's got, I think they probably did. Which, they is well, they should have done that. I hate autoplay.
Me too. It's the worst.
Really is. But also, Darren Criss has computer games singles. Maybe they didn't. Because Darren Criss has some of the computer games Darren Criss videos under his own channel.
Oh.
I don't know why you would do that, but you're literally just cutting your numbers down.
I wonder if the computer games channel just wasn't, like, performing enough, so they were like, hey, let's double down.
Yeah, I just, it's one of those things that, like, okay, you can... Because I did this with one of my companies I worked with. Like, you can post things on other channels and have them play within your own channel. One of our listeners will know exactly what the term for it is. But it's basically like you've embedded a different channel into like your overarching channel, so like you can manage it. Which they probably did. I just think it's dumb that they pulled out computer games if it was only going to be like it was only ever going to be like a short-lived thing. Like, why wouldn't you just keep it on Darren's channel and utilize his larger audience,
right?
Unless you didn't think it was going to be a short thing and you thought it was going to be a longer thing, and then things in life fuck mm-hmm. things up. I'll just leave that there.
Yeah,
and walks and I'll shimon away from it.
Something that changed.
Something happened.
So.
See myself out.
But yeah, that's
so. To summarize,
I basically feel
I was
like,
gonna say to summarize, oh. He's terrible at this, but we're not shocked.
Yeah,
accurate. It's the song
like he's
terrible.
It's more like he's underutilizing things, and that's frustrating.
And that's not even abnormal, I would say, for companies. I guess what the thing is I find interesting is. For somebody who got his start and got on the internet, and somebody who literally utilized a social media, YouTube specifically, platform to push himself into Hollywood and getting roles, it seems very interesting to me that he's so quickly wanting to leave that behind. And just kind of not even like ignore that he did that. I don't think he's doing that so much as he's just like doesn't want to utilize that at all in any way, shape, or form, even if it would help further himself now. Because it was sort of like it worked before.
Right.
Yeah. Why do you think it would not work now? Or do you just think you're too big for that? Because
right,
no,
obviously not.
Yeah.
I'm like, do you see every other like celebrity on social media like still doing stuff? Like, that can work. You just have to like figure out, do you want, if you don't want to do it, then you have to have somebody else do it. That's all.
I mean, even Chris, just to compare him to, you know, another Glee cast member, seems to have hit a really comfortable balance of, yeah, he mostly posts when he's got projects, but he also, especially on Instagram, he posts, you know, actual things enough that you don't only remember, you know, that he exists when he's selling you something.
Right, yeah.
I mean, literally 10, 13 days ago, he posted a photo of himself in the most ridiculous fucking little outfit, which is so funny and actually kind of adorable, to be quite honest. But yeah, he's got a nice combination of professional things in here as well as personal. And I think he leaned into, hey, I don't want to do too much. It seems like he seems to be okay with being a little bit more open about his personal life. But I know for a while he didn't want to go too far into that. So he just leaned into animals.
Yeah.
So he would just be like, he would focus on Brian and then like all of the other animals that they'd rescued. And it's sort of like, cool, if that's the angle that makes you feel comfortable, because you're like, I don't want to open too much on my personal life. I'm going to do this one small aspect. That totally is fine. Like, you don't have to be a celebrity or public figure on social media and have to be like, let me throw open the French doors to my house and in my life, and here is everything. And please don't do that. But there is a very, very big line between manufactured inauthenticity, that trying to masquerade as conversation, here are all my dirty laundry, and here's all the look at everything. Like, there's a big difference between, you know, in there, and you can figure something out. I'm not surprised Darren doesn't want to. I guess he always seems like somebody that gets very easily distracted. I'm just surprised his team is as equally distracted from it.
Yeah.
Just goes to show that it doesn't matter how many years have passed, complaining about Darren Criss's professional team is a forever constant.
Yes.
That is my my OTP.
The forever OTP. The actual true OTP. Cool. Well, we've actually managed our real mini episode of like an hour. This is how we do mini episodes.
Yeah. Yay!
Yeah, this is usually how mini episodes work.
So, congrats. That's how we do. So we've got our Darren Criss Glee news part 1 and 2. I know. It's how this weekend worked. And that's my cat over there trying to break in through the front door. Not now.
I mean,
I feel like he could use the knob.
He tries. He really does. He tries. He's turning. He tries. It's dinner time, so he's coming for me. Mm. He knows I'm in here. Cool. So yeah, I'm glad we could catch you for this Darren extravaganza.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go back to that that other, you know, podcast and just continue talking about Snape.
The real passion in life.
Indeed, my sole passion in life to
Severus Snape.
To continue talking about
your sole passion. Don't do Mr. Shoe like that.
I feel like there was a BuzzFeed article recently that was talking about like the worst characters ever on television, and I'm pretty sure Mr. Shu ended up in there. Positive. And I was like, I'm pretty sure I ghost wrote 100%. This article.
Yeah.
And it's like, it was just Mr. Shu, nobody else. I didn't include anybody else.
It was that just BuzzFeed article. 8 photos of Mr. Schuster.
Yeah.
Guaranteed. Pretty much.
It's like all that was needed. It was just like, here's him in like all the different seasons. Each season was bad.
Amazing. So thank you for listening. Well, I was gonna say thank you for listening, but also thank you for joining us this time.
Wouldn't it be funny? It was like,
to the people listening, you're gonna have to tell us if you like Darren's song or not. And if you're musicians, if you want to do like an indie acoustic version of Darren's song and then send it to us, that would be super awesome.
And if you're one of the people that helped write Darren's song and you were the people that wrote and like did the music for the chorus, please let us know because y'all are y'all are
you
dope.
Did the good part.
Also, I'm going to throw out there as a reward for anyone that has listened this far, if you want a fucking around postcard, let me know and I will send you one.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Bonus points. Nice. Yep. There you go.
Love it.
Yeah, so thank you. And I guess that's what you missed. And wow, I guess that means I'm out. That's what you missed on Darren's social media account.
You've been listening to Glee on the Rocks, a podcast by OTR Productions. A huge thank you to our sound editor, Adriana, and our podcasts, who secretly run the show. For more episodes, download us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, or wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Podchaser, and more at Glee on the Rocks. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can subscribe to our Patreon account at patreon.com/GleeOnTheRocks. Subscribers get ad-free episodes, exclusive mini-episodes deep diving into the fandom, salty opinions, and so much more. So until next time, that's what you missed on Glee.